This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. With the Trump administration slowly chipping away at Obamacare, some health care practitioners are concerned about how changes will affect their clients, especially adolescents. Shift NC is a statewide sexual health nonprofit that voiced concern about how the administration's policies could affect underserved teens. They're hosting their annual forum on the state of adolescent health tomorrow. And joining us for a preview is the Director of Clinic Improvement Services at Shift NC, Michelle Reese. Michelle, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Also, Jade Ludlam is here. He's the Assistant Secretary of Medicaid Transformation for the state's Department of Health and Human Services, and he's going to be speaking at the forum tomorrow. Welcome, Jay.
Good afternoon.
Michelle, tell us about the current state of adolescent teen sexual health in North Carolina. Where are we? Because I know we've had declining, for instance, teen pregnancy rates for quite some time now, right?
Yes, we have. We're really excited about the rate of the decline in North Carolina around teen pregnancies and unintended pregnancies. So what we do know is that teen pregnancy rates have fallen drastically in North Carolina. They fell 7%. Between 2015 and 2016, which is the newest data that we do have available right now, and also 73% decrease since 1990, which is when those rates actually peaked. Nationally, we can attribute those declines to better contraceptive use and access to contraceptives, and I would say we can attribute about 86% of that decline to contraceptive
use. Do you see a change on the horizon?
In terms of the availability or the
well,
rate
first,
of teen pregnancy?
Let's talk about the rates. Yeah, first start there and then talk about the reasons that we might see a change if you think there's one in the works.
Well, I do think that we will continue to see a decrease in unplanned pregnancy. I think there are lots of opportunities for young people to get education, to access care. But I do think that there are some pending threats to the availability of contraceptive care for young people and women of childbearing age here in North Carolina and across the United States. And also the changes in the climate around what's available for young people in terms of education. So we certainly should be thinking about how do we safeguard the opportunities for young people to acquire the skills and education that they need to make decisions about their sexual and reproductive health.
Tell us about something called Title X funding.
Oh, yes. So there are definitely some changes happening with the Title X funding that we certainly think there's some calls for concern. There's been some proposals to change how Title X could be administered, who will be able to administer Title X services. And
so what does Title X do? Tell us a little more
Title
about
X,
it.
Title X is a service. There's funding provided to local or regional health departments of Health and Human Services where they can provide sexual and reproductive health services to women within those communities. And so that would include pregnancy prevention, that would include STI testing and treatment.
So, and these are these, and it results in actual facilities, places where people can go to get counseling, treatment, and all those sort of things. That is funded by these federal funds.
Yes.
So
yes.
What's the status of Title X?
So what we've recently have been released out in the world here is that the Trump administration is proposing that the Title X moves to a more abstinence-based medical protocol where we know that there are lots of individuals who really depend on these services where abstinence may not necessarily be their option or their choice for various reasons. And so there is a threat that if we move to that sort of model of providing reproductive health services, that could create barriers for young women and men as well to access services.
Jay Ludlam, how does the state support adolescent health?
Absolutely. So the Department of Health and Human Services under Secretary Cohen is focused on ensuring that all North Carolinians live healthy lives. Mm-hmm. And my department, the Division of Health and of Health Benefits, is focused on transforming Medicaid from a fee-for-service program to a managed care program, from a state-administered program to private insurance.
There's some fear that transformation could lead to diminished services. I mean, under that plan, essentially, these providers will get a pot of money. They have to manage it very carefully. The hope is that they will become more efficient with the delivery of health care. The fear is that if you only have so much money to deliver, you just might start cutting services, and that could cut into adolescent health. That's at least one fear I've heard.
Yes, absolutely. And that's definitely not a goal of our transformation. The focus is on building on the successes that we already have and building on that local community engagement that we have and moving forward for providers and our beneficiaries, increasing access to care where it's possible. And, of course, the department is focused on good oversight methods to make sure that our health plans are spending the money on the services and care that we expect them to spend.
One way you could guarantee that, I guess, is to focus on outcomes so that if, for instance, if we're talking about adolescent sexual health, if we saw these declines continue, you would continue to reward those providers. Is there any kind of incentive package that's based on outcomes when it comes to adolescent reproductive health?
Right. The department, as part of our Medicaid transformation, is absolutely focused on quality and ensuring that we are getting the value we expect, measuring outcome, and ensuring that our rare and precious state taxpayer dollars are being spent on actual care. In fact, the department is in the process of publishing a series of concept papers that outline our strategy in holding health plans accountable for quality outcomes, and we should be expecting that quality strategy concept paper to be coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Michelle, does Shift NC have any thoughts about going forward how this transformation of Medicaid might affect adolescent health?
Yes, we've been having some conversations internally, but as well with various providers throughout North Carolina that we have relationships with. And there are some concerns around confidentiality. One of the loopholes with privately insured individuals is when a young person does want to access care, particularly around their reproductive health services, and want that service to remain confidential. When the explanation of benefits goes home, sometimes that creates a barrier for young people where they're maybe not in a situation where they want to start those conversations with their parents, but they also want to remain safe and be able to manage their health care themselves in a way that they actually have the right to do so. And so when we move to this form of having health Medicaid where it's privately managed, then we're certainly asking or seeking that there are opportunities for safeguarding that confidentiality.
Jay, is that something the state is taking into account as you are in the midst of this transformation?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think what Michelle is referring to is HIPAA concerns.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's the inappropriate sharing of personally identifiable information. Mm-hmm. And that would be a concern, and that is something that the department is focused on, making sure that our health plans will be following federal law, state law, as well as various provisions that we'll be putting into the contract with them.
What about that? So let's take this hypothetical case. If an individual, an adolescent, were to see a provider want confidentiality, but then the statement of benefits or statement of benefits, goes home, would that be automatically a HIPAA violation, or is it something you have to reinforce? Is there any regulation that has to be imposed over and above that because they're not adults?
Right. Well, each health plan will have a compliance department that will be expected to enforce the HIPAA rule, and it would be in partially on them to evaluate whether it was a HIPAA violation from their perspective. But the department would be creating an oversight structure that they would still have to report it to the state, and the state could do its own independent evaluation at that time.
Michelle, Shift NC's annual forum tomorrow is at the Friday Center. The focus, infrastructure, intersections, and impact. What are the core issues you're going to tackle?
So also tomorrow we'll have Carmelita Coleman, who is the director of an organization called Say So that works really closely with youth leaders in this community. And she'll be speaking more towards, what are some of the ways and strategies that we can work with vulnerable youth populations. That is something that's on the horizon that's getting a lot of attention from a federal and local level. They are an organization that's doing that very well, and there are lots of organizations across the state, and I think it's incumbent upon us, whether it's healthcare or education, that we're finding strategic ways to partner with systems and individuals who do work with vulnerable populations. They need to have their education and their health care safeguarded as well. And we are asking Jay to come tomorrow so that he can sort of tie in, you know, what do we need to be thinking about? What is the latest and greatest around access to care, and how will this Medicaid transformation impact this population that so many of us are working with in North Carolina? And so I think it's a nice tie-in tomorrow to sort of talk about vulnerable populations as well as talk about how do we integrate and be a part of this conversation around Medicaid transformation.
Jay, can you give us the 30-second preview of your talk tomorrow?
Well, I have to say I'm very excited to have an opportunity to talk tomorrow with Shift NC. It's one of the great advantages of the position that I have to be able to go around the state and talk to beneficiaries, providers and other advocacy groups around their concerns and hopes for the Medicaid transformation. Part of what I intend to talk about tomorrow is, again, some of the concept papers that we've released. We're really looking for our communities to give us feedback on what we're proposing to do. We've just recently published one on network adequacy, and that goes right to the heart of provider access and measuring and maintaining and ensuring that our beneficiaries are getting the services they need when they need them. So that's in part what I'll be talking. I have a feeling I'll be answering a lot of questions and addressing some concerns that the audience may have.
You just got your preview today. Jay Ludlum works at the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. He is Assistant Secretary of Medicaid Transformation. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Also, Michelle Reese, Director of Clinic Improvement Services at Shift NC, a statewide nonprofit geared to improving the sexual health of adolescents and teens. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
You can find out more about their conference, which is tomorrow at the Friday Center. It's a sold out, but you can check out our website to see what it was all about and get more information, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we look at a voter disenfranchisement in one eastern North Carolina town and whether it's happening elsewhere on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.